2 Timothy chapter number 4 this morning. Thank you for your patience. We'll try to be as quick as I can. Jeremiah, please keep an eye on the time for me in case I'm not paying attention, please. Obviously, things will be mentioned again, and I'm just going to focus on just a few things. 2 Timothy chapter 4, it has been mentioned that this is Paul's last writing. And if you guys don't mind, it takes me just a minute to get going because if I get in a hurry, I stutter real bad. So, and I don't want to do that this morning. So I'm going to take my time getting going. I would hope that at the end of my life, this would be the type of letter I could write.
Amen.
And so I'm going to start in verse 7. Just read down through verse 11. I know you know the verses, but verse 7 says, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Do thy diligence to come shortly.
Amen.
Unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And has departed into Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Jeremiah, son, if you don't mind, pray for me this morning real quick.
Father, we just come before you this morning. Just want to say how thankful we are to be in your house this morning.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Lord, for saving my soul. And thank you so much, Lord, for just giving me the opportunity to come, Lord, and some of the messages that have come to the heart, Lord. Just thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just speaking to me, Lord, and just allow me just to be in your house. Lord, I pray you to touch my dad, Lord. Just give him exactly what he stands in need of. And help him just to help somebody this morning. Help us to leave and help us just go out here and serve you, Lord, and just finish well. So when you come back, Lord, we can hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Lord,
yes,
I love you.
Yes.
And I praise you. I thank you so much for your word. And I pray, Lord, you just help us just to be listening, be attentive. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, you can be seated. Thank you. again, I'll take my time just getting started this morning. I'm a construction worker by trade. I've been at the same church for almost 23 years, Happy Valley Baptist Church in Villarica, Georgia. Some of you are familiar with my pastor. His name is Eddie Wyatt. He travels a good bit, so we've been there a long time and hadn't had the chance to get here in a while because Brother Peacock is certainly not plugged in. If he was plugged in, he would have his meeting a different week than our meeting. And we've had our meeting. Ours started first. Amen. So it's all your fault. But anyway, of course, I'm just kidding. And so we were remodeling, and they pushed ours back. And I said, "Boy, I know where I'm going." Amen. Now, as you guys look outside of this building, when I was here last time, the footers, help me, Lord, the footers were dug, and they have not even put in the rebar yet. I don't remember if all the forms were up yet. I can't remember. But when I got here this week, the building was up. It was really nice to see the building up and see that the Lord is doing something. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but when you start a project, your goal should be to finish.
Amen.
Now, in Luke chapter 14, it says, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first, counteth the cost?" And the statement says this, "Whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest happily after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Now, we've heard so much, there's no way to add to anything that's said, but I would like to compliment a little bit if I can. Our goal should be to finish. Now, some of us didn't have such a good start. I promise you, it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. But it doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you finish. And so I want to give you three quick things. And one of these you've already heard. I'm just going to draw my attention to something else this morning. But look back down in verse number 7. Now, when Luke writes about what Paul said in Acts chapter number 20, Paul said that I might finish my course. When he writes here, he said, I have finished my course. And so notice in verse number 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. Now, you've heard it already about how we should be a fighter. Now, I don't get a chance to get out very much, and all I do is hear things. I know at our place things are a little different. But I know there's a lot of fighting amongst the brethren. Now, I know you guys like to fight, and I enjoy it myself. I street preach, and I preached in front of some bad bars, and sometimes you want to get in the flesh. But I think there's too much fighting among ourselves.
Amen.
And I would like to ask you a question this morning. The things that you hate in yourself and in other people, do you hate in yourself?
Amen.
Now, I know you've already heard it, but I want to remind you, your biggest battle is going to be with you. Now, you might blame your wife,
and
you might blame the devil or your children, but I promise your biggest battle is going to be you.
Amen.
Now you say amen, but that's not how you live. Now I wasn't raised as a Christian. I got saved first time I heard the gospel. I was 23 years old, and I got married to a Christian, and I'm raising my kids in a way I was not raised. And I'm going to tell you something. My biggest battle isn't with what's going on outside. My biggest battle is me. Now, this is something that's not talked about in our circles, and what that is that failure. It's like that brother who preached on hospitality. And I ought to just park here for a while, but I won't. But y'all are awful quiet.
Preach, yes, sir.
And the reason you're quiet, because you're not hospitable.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
It's amazing how many times it's mentioned in the Bible, and you talk about how many times things are mentioned, but you don't talk about that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I want y'all to understand something. Failure, listen closely, is part of life.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Amen.
Now, thankfully, I was not raised in such an abusive home. Thankfully, the church people I've been around have not been that way. But I want to say something to you as parents. There's no way to parent children without making mistakes.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Especially if you haven't been raised this way. And I know you're, listen to me now, I know you're already perfect and you don't make any mistakes. But it's amazing that you hold standards on other people and your children that you don't live up to.
Amen, preacher.
Don't get on to your people about their prayer life when you don't pray.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Listen, it would have been nice if somebody would have taken me. Our kids are close together. They're 22 and 20 and 19 and 17 and God knows what else. I can't even remember all of it. I think 16 and 14. And when my kids were little, man, I thought, oh God, I'm never going to make it.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being serious. I never thought I'd make it. It would have been nice if somebody said, Freddie, it's going to be worse when they're older.
Amen.
Dear God, and then girls, and oh, Lord, have mercy. Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Now,
you keep helping me. We'll keep going. Amen.
Keep helping me. Amen.
So let me ask you a question. What do you do when you fail?
Amen. Yes, sir, preacher.
Now here's what I've discovered over the years is that how much mercy you give out when other people fail will determine what kind of mercy you get when you fail.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
You're ungraceful with other people, yes, but you want grace and mercy. Look, why don't you show some people some grace? I know you've never done anything wrong. You've never lived up to all that expectation. But when people don't, you're going to show them no mercy. You know, some of you, am I okay?
Well, you're okay, brother. Amen.
Your kids have never, ever heard you say, I'm sorry. So let me ask you a question. Where do they learn it from? Where do they learn to come to you and look to you and say, I'm sorry, if you never said
yes,
it?
Amen.
And don't tell me you ain't never made a mistake with them.
Yes, sir.
Last time my oldest daughter and I got in an argument, she goes, you didn't say you were sorry. I gave her that liberty. You say, why did she say it? Goes, she thought I was wrong. I said, well, I wasn't wrong this time.
Amen.
But failure is something we don't talk about,
yes, sir, preacher,
at all. And I'm going to tell you something. Your biggest battle, I know you would stand against the queer. I understand all. And I'm not even going to use the wrong terminology. Man, but I'm telling you, your biggest battle is going to be you. And I'm telling you, I know you have trouble with people in your church, but I promise you, when you go to bed at night, you're not going to be worrying about the trouble they're giving. You're going to say, God, did I handle this the right way?
Yes. Amen. Amen, preacher.
Man, I have made so many mistakes. I'm thankful that things have been mentioned many times to comfort. It's just like that brother that just mentioned that thing about the please forgive me, I'm trying. David mentions that thing to Saul about the bear and the lion. Man, why that sticks out to me so much is that it isn't recorded where it happened. And what it teaches me, there are private battles that we all face. Listen to me now. That nobody else knows about. And look at me. You get mad at your spouse thinking she understands when she don't.
Yes, sir. Amen.
She cannot understand it.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't mean she doesn't go through it with you, but she doesn't understand it. And you get mad when other people don't understand. How many years I've complained to my wife about not getting a chance to preach? And she's like, well, whatever. I'm tired of hearing you complain. My wife doesn't understand. There are battles, and listen to me about that lion and that bear, man. You're going to have to fight those private battles like that brother just said, or you're never going to make it. Our goal should be able to finish, not just putting on a show,
sir,
so other people will praise us.
Sir.
You've got to fight those private battles, even when nobody else knows you're doing it.
You are free. Amen, preacher. Yes, sir. Amen. That's good preaching, brother.
Now, I know it's hard for men to deal with, but some of you are very insecure.
Amen.
As a leader.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Amen.
Let me tell you what it's a reflection of. It's a reflection of your lack of confidence in the Lord personally, because if you had that relationship right, you would not be jealous. Brother, that was good preaching.
Yes. Amen.
I'm not just saying that. If you knew me, I don't throw around words. That was good.
Yes.
I'm not insecure of him.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
My pastor has, we've never had a conflict at all at our church because he's not insecure even about my liberty at that church.
Yes,
and if you're, I'm telling
preacher, brother, yes, sir.
It's a reflection.
Amen.
Of your, it's like Saul being so insecure about David because it never mentions him having a real relationship with the Lord. And you know all this thing. But why is it that you don't practice it?
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Do you want to finish? The goal should be able to finish. There are things about this building out here that when you see the concrete down, Brother Brad, you see the building up, there are things underneath the ground that nobody will ever see.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher. Amen. Amen.
But all we do is, like this brother said, we make sure things are right on the outside so we appear,
yes,
we appear to be spiritual, yes, when you're not.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
When are you going to stop pretending?
Right.
You talk about believing the Bible and you still live that way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, when you're young, and I'll tell you what, I'm very honored to be. I mean, I haven't had to do, it's been a long time. I have this privilege to preach in front of a crowd like you. I mean, it's an honor to see all these young men, but I'm going to tell you something. God ain't just interested in what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
He's interested in what you're becoming.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's good.
Some of us may never accomplish anything, but being something, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, man. All right, number two. How long, Jeremiah, have I been going? 10 minutes? How long have I been going? Seriously. 15 minutes? Oh, my goodness, man. Well, I'm sorry. I really try to be sensitive to this. I'll hit this second one and I'll get to the third one. I'll just stop. You know it. You got to be a fighter. Number two, you got to be faithful. And you know this. Notice in verse number 11, only Luke is with me. In our day and time, there's people going out. Thankfully, there's people coming in, but there's always that faithful one.
Amen.
Now, I hope this makes sense to you. But I think we need to be faithful where God puts us. And I think we need to be faithful with what God gave us. And I just want to say this. And, of course, the advantage of not doing social media and being out, I can say this honestly. I don't know anybody in here. If you're not where you're supposed to be, it's going to affect what you're doing.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We're always consumed about what we're doing. But are you sure you're where God wants you to be? And let me say this. God is not confused where He wants us.
Amen.
He told Timothy to abide at Ephesus. You say, why? Look, some of you, wherever God puts you, unless God tells you to go somewhere else, you need to buy a place to be buried. And you need to stay long enough so you can see the fruit come back. I am now performing weddings of what, when I was there, the kids were 2 and 3 years old. I even whooped some of them. And now I'm performing their weddings and going to the hospital and seeing their babies born. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, you know these verses about this brother mentioned, and Lord just bearing witness, faithful in the little things. But then when you go on down, faithful in that which is another man's. And I know some of you want your own thing, but you ain't never done what you're supposed to do already. And if you can't be submissive to another man in another ministry, God's not going to give you your own.
Amen.
If you can't be trusted in that which is another man,
yes, sir. Amen.
God's not going to give you your own.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Don't pray for $1 million. You can't even be faithful with 1,000.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
You got to be a fighter. You got to be faithful. And I do apologize for the time, Brother Peacock. The last thing is, you're going to have to forgive.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to get a little personal with you, you preachers. Some of us wear our feelings on our shoulders way too much. Don't you look down in verse number 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Now, I don't know if y'all remember or not, but there was a time where Paul said, I don't think so.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And regardless of your view of what happened, I, when I read the Bible, I think Paul's a little sassy.
Yeah.
Now, you get a little scared and you go back home to mama. Amen. Now, I'm preaching, right?
Amen.
So you go back home to mama next time we're going. No. You go home. No. I'm not. So what Paul realizes that, look, everybody, I know this is hard for some of you, but everybody ain't like you.
Amen, amen, preach, amen.
Amen.
That's good, bro.
Well, bless God, I would. They're not like you.
Amen, preacher.
Man, how many times I've told my pastor, I think these people are backslid as hell. Well, bless God, I'd chew the stinking doors off the, I mean, I'm all this stuff, and they go, yeah, they're not like you. It's amazing, listen to me now, that we're intolerant of people just because they're not like us.
Amen, preacher. Amen. Amen, preacher.
And do you realize when someone gets saved and you take them out on the street and they get scared to death and then you get on to them, you think they're backslidden? Maybe they just need to grow a little bit.
Yeah. Amen, preacher. Amen, brother. Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
You're going to have to forgive. How about this? Stephen gets ready to die. And he said, Lord, lay this not this sin to their charge. He realized you had to forgive before you finish. How about this? I'm sure you'll follow me. Father, forgive them.
Yes, sir.
For they know not what they do. Now look, he said that before he ever said, it is finished. Now here's the hard part. Here's the hard part. When you forgive, sometimes things don't change. Or people don't change. Look over in verse number 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Paul knows that if I'm going to finish right, I'm going to have to forgive.
Yeah.
Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. I just want to give you two illustrations and I'll be done. I do apologize for the time. There was a football game. And y'all forgive me, I'm a little scratchy. I'm still scared to death. And I don't know if you've ever played football or not, but on the line, the guys on the line have to block for those who are running or going out.
Amen.
And this was a big play one time, and I don't know if you've ever heard this story or not, but the line opens up a hole. The running back runs in. He scores the touchdown, and the guy's down on his knees, and everybody's picking this guy up, and they're all celebrating. He's like, man, I'm the one that opened up the hole. I'm the one that blocks every game. How come this guy gets all the attention? And on his knees, he looks over at the sideline, and the coach is going, because I don't know if you realize it or not, but he sees what you're doing. Here's what we think. When I was little, I got a chance to drive when I was very, very young. And I can remember sitting in my daddy's lap or my uncle's lap and going down the road like this. And for some reason, because of where you were sitting, you now think you're in charge and you're really driving. What I didn't realize was, is my dad underneath had a hold of the steering wheel the whole time. Now I know you think you're driving. And I know you think you're in charge. And I know you think you've got it handled and you can't, but somebody else is holding the wheel. If you're going to finish, you got to be a fighter. You got to be faithful, but you got to forgive. Brother Peacock.